Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon. How is it going, Johnny?
It's going pretty well.
We're all right. I mean, as you know, there's a technical phone difficulty, but thank you for catching our text and shooting us back.
It is no problem.
Well, did you just get beamed somewhere real quick just now?
Did I just what? Yeah, that's right. Yes, spectacularly.
It's a lovely tone.
Now, Peter, are we going to be chatting about Michael Curry?
We're going to chat about the royal wedding, that sermon.
I've heard a lot about this. Apparently, it was 5 minutes of quality, and then he kind of went on a bit of a gnarly tangent that maybe people weren't expecting.
Well, I've heard so many different viewpoints. It's not often that I'm approached in the middle of a university corridor by everybody wanting to talk about a sermon.
Right, right.
But it's provoked a lot of controversy. And I think myself it's quite interesting because it's a contrast, if you like, between black preachers and stodgy Anglican congregations, I suppose, or even secular congregations, because I don't think the Beckhams are kind of regular Anglican church goers somehow.
Right.
And the like. Did either of you two see the event? Or
I saw them getting towed out on the horses and waving for about 20 to 30 minutes,
yes.
And I thought,
to be honest, I opted out.
If the rest of her wedding was like that carriage ride, it was a long day.
Yeah, precisely. Yes. No, well, I opted out at 10:05 in the evening.
I heard there was a good cello player.
Yes, well, and then I tried to watch highlights and the cello playing.
Actually, from what I heard, Peter, all the good bits were American influence, which is quite, everybody kind of liked
it
all the American touches.
Well, it's certainly true that the American touches made an otherwise pretty standard royal wedding quite an interesting fare, because the gospel choir and especially the American preacher were quite something.
Bishop Curry, his name.
Yeah, Bishop. Oh, Archbishop, a primate of the Episcopal Church in the USA.
Okay.
Now, what I think is interesting about this is that, I mean, it was not a long sermon, really, by anybody's cup of tea. It's just that, I mean, people were waiting for the
exciting. It's just that it was on TV, so there weren't too many camera angles that people could keep people sort of interested. Is that sort of?
Well, actually, I mean, he was a pretty dynamic preacher, waving his arms around. There was plenty of dramatic intonation, though I imagine that I felt sorry for the people out in the ordinary seats, because I don't think they could have seen anything at all unless there were some TV screens showing them what was going on.
Right.
So they sat in the cheap seats, well, probably not very cheap, and waited while, and presumably you could hear the sound, and that was it. But, you know, a typical royal wedding, the Anglicans do things with magnificence, has to be said, and if the particular style of singing and organ playing and grand presence and the like, and people who've been a little bit rude about the words that are said, they were just the standard Anglican words for the current Anglican wedding service. So I don't think there was anything you could take exception to, except they were unfamiliar to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's it.
But the sermon was fun, I reckon.
Okay.
Possibly 15 minutes, or I'm told it's 14 minutes. Sort of the average Anglican sermon these days is probably 10 minutes.
Right.
And so the I would say that people were getting a little bit agitated, especially as he paused in the middle and then sort of gained new wind and went on and kept going. But what I loved about it, I really loved about it, was that here was dynamic American ardent preaching that said this isn't, you know, that was using a theory that love can change the world, and let's just not make it the soppy old sort of wedding stuff, but, you know, let's start with Martin Luther King.
Right.
And let's proceed through to challenge the systems and structures of the world with the notion of the power of love. And he got wound up in his theme. I mean, he began relatively moderately.
Mm-hmm.
And you could feel him catching his own rhetoric.
Did he get yelly?
It wasn't very yelly, but okay. Compared to the average English sermon, it certainly was. Impassioned, and his voice rose, and it rose and it fell. It was the real dramatic speaking style.
British people are a little bit more like, enjoy the short read and shut up.
Oh yes, of course. And the average tone, the very modulated tone of the English speaker. Mm. Yes, Johnny?
Do you think he was chosen because he sort of has been one to speak out on issues of social justice, immigration, and marriage equality?
There I went back and did some digging around, and I found that he has published, and I've read a bit of this book, a book that was published about 3 years ago, called Crazy Christians. And it's not all social justice, but there is quite a lot of social justice in it. His background, you know, raised in Chicago, and though he's lived on the side of the states that the Episcopalians work in, it is, you know, that wealthy eastern coast. But he's clearly concerned with social issues. But I don't know that was why he was chosen. I think he was chosen because he was black and therefore... How does one say it? Megan, or
the new princess lady.
Yes, well, there we are.
Hey, what is she? She's not a princess, is she? She's something else.
She's a duchess now.
What kind of superpowers has she got now? Can she do anything
superpowers?
Cool?
Superpowers? Well, she can breathe on people and they're immortal, I would think.
Oh, thank you for biting on that one. Fantastic.
apart from just making it extra long to talk to her, I mean, I think there's probably little else this has changed. But
if you can survive her breath,
That's right. But I think that they chose him partly as a reconciliation feature, because you see, the American Episcopalians have been out of favour in England ever since they started ordaining gay clergy and gay bishops. And I think this was a peace gesture suggested. I read somewhere that it was suggested by the Archbishop of Canterbury, who's in charge of the Anglican Church. And I think he chose something well that would go down to the American audience.
Okay, so it's a real tactical move. Is this simply because the Episcopal Church is the only one to allow gay marriage in church?
That's right.
What's the difference between an archbishop and a bishop? Has the archbishop got some kind of vendetta against someone? Yeah,
the archbishop is in charge of a group of bishops.
Okay, cool. The boss of the bishops, got it.
And this one, he's primate. That means to say he's in charge. There's quite
bishops?
A number of archbishops in the US, but primates in overall charge of the whole lot.
Wow, so his email box is just chocker full of bishop-related stuff.
That's right. That's all he does. Mm. You'd want to... But he's been going around the states... running what he calls revival missions, which doesn't sound very Episcopalian or Anglican to me. It sounds far too much fun and energy and lively sermons. And so I think he does have a reputation for vivid and imaginative style. And I suspect that he was given orders to speak for 10 minutes, and he just chose to ignore them.
Good on him.
Yeah, so that's right. I mean, let's face it, if you've got a global audience, you've got to exploit it.
Yeah, totally.
Right on.
All right, Peter. Well,
all right, there
thank
we
you
are.
Very much. Thank you very much for
You're
calling
welcome.
Into the show this
didn't
afternoon.
Didn't think we'd talk about the royal wedding on the show, did you?
Well, I got you. Thanks, Peter.
Yes. Very good. Bye.